The Golden State Warriors are the 2015 NBA champions. Their first title in 40 years.
For the first time since 1954, the Giants are world champions.
And you tell them one thing, just win, baby.
I'd say it's today's golden days.
Just like the tombs in Egypt, soon as you see it, you'll be speechless. Golden, no job when we slide through, we gon' provide you with something to ride to. Golden, just like the tombs in Egypt, soon as you see it, you'll be speechless. Golden, no job when we slide through, we gon' provide you with something to ride to. Golden, golden, golden.
Bay's Golden Days. I'm Marcus Boucher, back alongside my boy Alan Flores.
Hello.
Back again to bring you another Straight Cash podcast for week 11 of the NFL 2018 season, where we're going to break down every single game by the point spread, against the over-under, give you our favorite picks, give you our money line locks of the week, give you a couple primetime upsets. We got it all for you right here on the Bay's Golden Days podcast, where we got the Raiders taking on the Cardinals, we got the 49ers on a bye. We've got Sunday night football, one hell of a matchup between the Bears and the Vikings. And then Monday night, a potential Super Bowl preview. We got the Kansas City Chiefs taking on the Los Angeles Rams in a game that was too good for Mexico. Yes, too good for Mexico. They had to move it back to good old America because this, like I said, could be a Super Bowl preview. But before we get there, you guys know what time it is.
Straight cash, homie.
That's right. It's time for Straight Cash right here on the Bay's Golden Days podcast. And you guys know the routine. This is the Bay Area. So we start in the Bay Area because I got some news for you guys. Obviously, you saw there was not a Raiders recap podcast this last week because after my podcast against the 49ers, I said, fuck, man, what's the point of this? Why come back every single week if there's nothing to talk about? It's the same story every fucking week with the Raiders. What'd you guys want me to do? Come on air last week and fucking clap and applause that we threw the ball away on fourth down on our last play of the game? Or should I be happy that our rookie punter had a fake punt that went 40 yards that went longer than any time he punted the ball the whole entire fucking season?
That's
no.
Exactly what I wanted.
No, I don't want to come back and rant about this. There's no point of it. So, of course, since I'm doing a Straight Cash podcast, why not just go back to the format from last year where I combined my little Raiders recap within the Straight Cash pick. So why not just give you the whole Raiders versus Cardinals preview right now? And I said it on my last Raiders recap podcast. This is it, Raiders. This is the chance to win a game this year. If there's any game that's left on your schedule that you can win this year, it's this game against the Arizona Cardinals. The Raiders will be on the road, and the Cardinals will be a four-point favorite. They covered the spread last week against the Chiefs. It was a big point spread, but they actually showed up, played decent. Josh Rosen has been playing decent lately. They got their offense going now that Byron Leftwich has taken over as offensive coordinator. Larry Fitz is back to getting 10 targets a game. I think he's going to be unstoppable because OG Larry Fitz, I mean, shit, this weekend, I think he only needs 5, 6, 7 more catches, and he'll pass Jerry Rice for having the most catches ever on one team. So shouts out to Larry Fitz. Shit, I don't know how you stayed in Arizona for all those years, but he's still getting the job done. And then opposite of him, he's got Christian Kirk on the outside, a trailblazing rookie that leads the NFL in receiving yards by rookies. This guy is having an underrated season, so I think he's going to be able to take the top off our defense because we don't got no goddamn defense. I mean, shit, I thought last week the Chargers were going to cover the over by themselves against the Raiders. It was a disappointing game. It was not a disappointing game. I mean, the game only ended 20-6, so it's what we expected. But what can we expect from this Raiders offense this week? I mean, they're either balling out against the Colts or they're getting sacked left and right. And that's my biggest fear this weekend is Chandler Jones, probably one of the most underrated defensive ends in this league. I mean, I guess everybody who just plays for the Cardinals is underrated at this point. But Chandler Jones, the brother of one of the greatest fighters of all time, John Jones. Chandler Jones has pretty much led the NFL in sacks over the past 3-4 years. But no one talks about him because he went on a goddamn drug escapade up in New England, took some spice and went crazy in front of a police station, and he got shipped off to the Arizona Cardinals. So I think Chandler Jones can have a big day. He could have a 2-3 sack performance the way this offensive line has been working. But one good thing about this Arizona Cardinals defense that should help out the Raiders is they will not have their Pro Bowler Buda Baker. Yes, one of the best safeties in the league. He has taken over for the Honey Badge in that backfield. He is huge on that defense side of the ball. So maybe the Raiders can get some offensive going. But there's no Marshawn Lynch, there's no Martavis Bryant, there's no Amari Cooper, there's no Jordy Nelson. I mean, who the hell is going to be catching balls this week? Brandon LaFell, Derek Carr has got to put the team on his back. Doug Martin has got to put the team on his back and do something, and the Raiders have got to get a chance to get the win this weekend. Man, I mean, I've screwed you guys all year with these Raider picks. but this is the last time, I swear. They gotta win this weekend. This is probably their only chance to win for the rest of the season. And if they don't win this weekend, I'll tell you right now, I'll never take the Raiders again for the rest of the season. I don't care what the point spread is. Just tank for that number one overall draft pick. But I'm sorry, folks. I gotta do it. I gotta take the Raiders on the road plus 4 points against the Cardinals.
Well, first off, people, hello. It's another week. Another week for some good old money. Second of all, I would like to apologize and say a good farewell to the Raiders podcast. These Raiders podcasts have been my entertainment for work in the morning. And last week, I was fucking offended. I was offended that my good friend here did not give me what I wanted. But you know what? It is what it is.
We're back for the Straight Cash Podcast, baby.
We're back for the Straight Cash Podcast. And you know what? If you guys have listened to the last few weeks, I have been the one that's right about the Raiders.
Right.
I'm sorry, but I have.
Preach.
And this week, I'm going to be right again. Because you know what? Cardinals, let's face it. Fitz back, Kirk back. I mean, they are missing two of their safeties, like Marcus said, so that's going to be a little tough one. But who does Derek Carr had to fucking throw to in the first of all? And then look for Seals Jones, tight end for the Cardinals, to probably get a fucking touchdown. Because like Marcus says, the Raiders can't stop a tight end. It's not going to happen. So with the under, I will take the under on 41. I do not see enough points being made in this game, but I will take by four. The Cardinals, and I don't think I need to say no more, huh, Mark?
No, you don't got to say anymore. No one's got to say anything to me about the Raiders for the rest of the season. I'm done. Don't listen to anything I have to say about the Raiders. I've been wrong all year. Hell, I thought this was a potential playoff team, but then we shipped off Khalil Mack, shipped off Amari Cooper, John Gruden falling apart. But you guys know from the Raiders recap everything that I've said about this team and everything looking forward to the future because, like I said, they'll be good. It just won't be until they're in Las Vegas. So, hey. This is my last chance for the Raiders. You got to win one now, but who even cares at this point? It's all about draft picks.
Hey, you guys, you know what? I might have a fucking solution. I might have a little theory. I've been seeing a little rumor that they're making a new Child's Play movie. A renewing the Chucky doll. Could this be the awakening of Gruden? Could this be a new fucking awakening, Marcus?
Well, he needs to renew his play calling. He needs to renew his playbook. He needs to renew this Raiders franchise because we're so close to the return to greatness. But you guys all know the stories by now.
Yes, I'm sorry.
This is, at the end of the day, a 1-8 team playing against a 2-7 team. Yeah, let's just go ahead and keep it moving now. Forget the Raiders. Their season's over with. But the Bay's Golden Days is just beginning because we've been winning you money all year long. I swear, if you listen to my bets, as long as you're not betting on the Raiders, you're winning some money right here on the Bay's Golden Days. We've won you money with some Niners games, Raider games. Hell, we've won money all year long. So let's go ahead and jump into that Sunday slate where we got the Tampa Bay Buccaneers taking on the New York Giants. Like I said, the Giants, I took them last week on the podcast to upset the 49ers on Monday night to win you some money. They ended up winning that game 27-23. And for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, we both told you to go ahead and take the Washington Redskins, and they covered the spread 16-3. So what I tell you, we're making you some money just like we said we would right here on the Bay's Golden Days podcast. But let's go ahead and talk about this game because the Buccaneers are going on the road and the Giants are 1.5-point favorites. This is one of the most confusing games of the week to call because we talked about quarterback play a lot on this show before. We still got Fitzmagic. We don't know if it's going to be Fitztragic. But then you got Eli Manning playing against them. I mean, which quarterback do you really want for this game? I guess it just comes down to the playmakers. But honestly, the Giants go as Eli goes. He had a decent week last week, but still almost lost to the 49ers. I don't get how they were underdogs against the 49ers. Now they're favored against the Buccaneers, a team whose offense should be better. Their defense is terrible. I mean, as long as the Buccaneers are able to somehow get into the end zone, they should be able to win this game. But last weekend, they were the first team in NFL history to surpass 500 total offensive yards and score no more than 3 points. Only 3 fucking points. So like I said, this is a game that truly is up for the air. But if we're going by the numbers, the road team is 4-0 against the spread in games that the New York Giants have played against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers since 2008. So, I mean, I might just have to go with the road dogs. Give me that one little plus points for a little bit of insurance, and I'll go ahead and take the Tampa Bay Buccaneers plus 1.5 against the Giants this weekend.
You know what, Marcus? We discussed this before, but I'm going to have to change my mind. I think I have to go with the Giants, specifically because I see how beat up this defense is on the Buccaneers. And I mean, especially with Lavonte David, he did not practice yet again with a knee injury. That's crucial. That's not one linebacker, but two linebackers they just lost this season. And it's looking real ugly on that side of the ball. They still can't run the ball for shit. I don't see anything coming out of that. What did I say last week about the Giants, by the way? You need a quarterback, right? Eli Manning kind of proved himself. It wasn't against the Niners, but we know how shitty Eli is, and he proved himself to be able to throw that ball like he did, throwing it twice to OBJ and having the game-winning touchdown to Sterling Shepard. And I think that he could roll on this Buccaneers defense, and I don't have that much trust against the Buccaneers offense. Assuming that Fitzmagic will be Fitzmagic, I don't think it's going to be Fitzmagic. I think it might be Fitztragic because, like you said, 500 yards, but you can't score for shit. Mike Evans, what the fuck happened to you last few games? You've been kind of looking shitty. And again, I don't have to speak on this running backs, okay? So especially with it also being at home, therefore at New York, I think the Giants are going to take this one.
Yeah, I mean, that's the only reason I see the Giants being favored in this game is because they are the home team, so that should give them a leg up. But to be honest, I don't really have confidence in either one of these teams. If I'm betting my own money, I'm probably just staying away from this game. But, hey, this is the Bay's Golden Day, so we're going to give you some picks. I give you the Bucks. I'll give you the Giants. And, hey, look at that. Starting off the podcast with an agree to disagree.
Let's
go ahead and keep on moving to our next matchup. We got the Houston Texans coming off a bye week, taking on the Washington Redskins, who we just mentioned beat the Buccaneers 16-13 to cover the spread and win you some money right here on the Bay's Golden Days. The Texans are road favorites, favored by 3 points in this game with the over-under set at 42.5. This is an interesting matchup because Washington Redskins' defense has been playing well all year. We've talked about their run defense and how they have limited teams. I mean, shit, they're one of the bend but don't break defense. Obviously, they let up over 500 yards to the Buccaneers last week, but only let up 3 points. So it's going to be interesting to see how the Texans prepare for this defense, having 2 weeks to prepare. But I think it's actually going to be the flip side where the Texans defense is getting ready for Adrian Peterson and Alex Smith, because there's bad news for the Washington Redskins offense. Their left tackle, Trent Williams, has already been ruled out by the coach with a broken thumb. We don't know, because he showed up to practice today with that broken thumb in hand, fully suited up, and just said, forget you, coach, I'm playing. So we'll see what happens there. But if he's not playing this weekend and they got to deal with Jadeveon Clowney and J.J. Watt, hell, throwing Whitney Mercilessly in there too, without their best tackle, I think it's going to be a recipe for disaster for this Washington Redskins offense, where when they get behind, they're not the same offense. Their formula all year has been to get up on teams early and then keep it going with Adrian Peterson and keep feeding them the rock. When they fall behind and they don't got that game script, AP, I'm sorry to say, he's a little bit useless when they're losing, because they do bring in Chris Thompson as the receiving back on third downs, but Chris Thompson is hurt. So who do you got on third down? I mean, I just don't think there's going to be too much success for this offense. I think they're going to get in a lot of third and long situations, and then they're going to be able to pin the ears back of the Washington Redskins offense and get to Alex Smith. I'm looking for Clowney and J.J. Watt to have a huge day. Hell, even throwing the Honey Badger to come in there and get a sack.
Oh, yeah.
I'll take the Texans -3 on the road over the Redskins.
Oh, yeah, this is definitely agreed to agree here, okay? So, I mean, you also got to look, again, injuries is really crucial. Alex Smith is missing Jamison Crowder. He's missing Chris Thompson. And like you said, you can't put all the pressure on Adrian Peterson. Adrian Peterson is not the old purple Jesus. He is now the maroon Messiah. I will say it every fucking podcast, people. But he is also up there in age. You give him the ball over 20 times a game, those legs are probably not going to work like they used to at some point. But I like the Texans. Texans defense looking like they're rolling. Like you said, Honey Badger can get a sack. I can see that happening. I can see DeAndre Hopkins probably getting a tug or two over Josh Norman. That could happen. But Josh Norman has still been looking pretty nice. He got a nice little pick last week. And that's the thing about the Redskins' defense. It's like playing a fucking Madden game. You drive down the fucking field on them, but then they get a turnover in the red zone. I've seen like two or three of those last week. So I don't think it's a matter of maybe the Redskins defense being that good. I just think that the fucking Buccaneers were just retarded. That's the way I see it. I mean, I've been praising this defense for quite some time, but this defense is inconsistent. And for Deshaun Watson and the offensive powers that he has, and for them to come off a bye week with 6 straight wins going for their 7th, we got to take the Texans at this point, Mark.
Yeah, definitely. I'm right there with you. And like you said, we've been talking about both these teams' defenses for most of the year, most of the time on this podcast. So that's why I do think the under in this game is a good pick. We're sitting there with a 42.5-point spread. I mean, both these teams' defenses average less than 20 points per game. I think this might be a low-scoring game. I think the Texans ultimately win it. And Houston is 4-0 against the spread under head coach Bill O'Brien when coming off a bye week. So 2 weeks to prepare for this offense. Like I said, I think it's going to be too much for Alex Smith and Adrian Peterson to handle. I'm definitely taking the Texans this week, -3 over the Redskins. And then let's keep on moving to our next game of the week, where we got another division matchup between the Cincinnati Bengals and the Baltimore Ravens. We told you our lock of the week last week was the Saints over the Bengals, and ooh-wee, does it feel to be right. And this was such an easy game to bet on. I mean, I had one guy come up to me and say, hey, I listened to your podcast. How much should I put on the Saints? I said, put it all. He said, okay, I'm putting down $300 right now. So that just gives you an example of how we're winning you some money right here on the Bay's Golden Days podcast, baby, because the Saints put on a absolutely beating against the Bengals. I said it last week. The Bengals, they're not a 5-3 team. Their record is a disguise. It will fool you, and that's exactly what they are. They still have a winning record with 5-4. I still don't think they're that good of a team. Hell, this defense, they're ranked worst in the NFL. They're a 32nd ranked defense. They're allowing an average of 40 points and 529 yards per game over the past four games. Holy shit. I thought the Raiders defense was terrible, but the Bengals have been playing abysmal. So that's why I think regardless of who's playing quarterback, if it's Joe Flacco or Lamar Jackson this weekend, I am taking the Ravens minus 4 points. But that's what I said. There's a little bit of quarterback controversy with Joe Flacco dealing with a hip injury. He's officially doubtful for Sunday. Hey, Coach Harbaugh comes out and said, oh, we don't know who we're starting at quarterback yet. There's even some rumors that it might be RG3, but no, it's the Lamar Jackson era. Lamar Jackson has got to start. I think he's going to vitalize his offense. I talked about how bad the Cincinnati Bengals defense was. Well, you get a running quarterback like Lamar Jackson, he should be able to slice through this defense like a hot knife through butter. I think Lamar Jackson has a big day and becomes one of the first rookies to get a win in their debut. I think Lamar Jackson gets the job done with the help of this Ravens defense, and I think they beat the Bengals minus 4 points easily this weekend in a tough AFC North division matchup.
Yeah, you know, guys, if you guys, for the people that are listening, this is a tough one for me, only because I'm a Steeler fan, and I would love to see nothing more than a tie on this game, if anything. Like, I got to think divisional-wise, but got to give you a little correction. Apparently, Lamar Jackson did not practice.
He had a stomach issue. He had a stomach ache, but he came back today. Yeah,
okay.
It'll be fine.
Well,
yeah.
I was going to say, I mean, at this point, then you do got to start the one and only perm man RG3, but let's take the Ravens since I got to take a take, you know. I mean, the fucking Bengals have been, you know, Marcus said this before the podcast. Their record is not exactly how they describe this team. This team, let's just put it this way. The fucking coach, Marvin Lewis, is getting fired. For sure.
It's about damn time.
He's got to get fired this season. There's no way in hell he keeps his job. They need to fucking, I heard that they might actually hire Hugh Jackson.
Yeah, he's on the team now as a special head coach assistant, whatever that means.
Yeah, well, guess what? That ain't enough to beat this Ravens, because I feel like the Ravens defense is going to come and just lay it on this fucking ginger. Joe Mixon still probably have a good game. He did last week, like me and Marcus said, and he'll probably do it again. But this Ravens defense with fucking Weddle just might fucking beat the brakes off of one of these receivers. AJ Green not playing again, I'm assuming. Yes, yep. He's not playing. So let's fucking just make this official and make it obvious. Ravens are going to win this fucking game, and it's going to be by fucking four? Oh my God. No line on the over-under? That's fine with me. Let's just take the Ravens on the points.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. Take the Ravens with the points. And I think you said it perfectly with the Ravens defense, especially getting 2 weeks to prepare for a Bengals offense that doesn't even have AJ Green, like you mentioned. So I think the Ravens should be able to tear up the Cincinnati Bengals. And the Baltimore Ravens are 5-1 against the spread in home games following a bye week under head coach John Harbaugh. So 2 weeks to prepare. I don't even think they need it for this Cincinnati Bengals team. But like Alan said, we are definitely taking the Baltimore Ravens, despite who's playing at quarterback. Shit, even if RG3 is in there, I still think they get the job done, minus four against the Bengals.
Ranked 32nd. My God, Bengals.
Despicable. I'm telling you, despicable. But let's go ahead and keep on moving now from a defense that's been despicable to an offensive line that's been despicable. We talked about the Detroit Lions, how they let up, 9, 10, 11 sacks just a week ago. I mean, they have been absolutely abysmal. I don't know what they're doing. I've mentioned it. They're trading for players. They're trading away players. The Detroit Lions are one of the biggest question marks in the NFL right now, no doubt about it. But the Carolina Panthers, they got a wake-up call last week, a rude awakening, as they got absolutely manhandled on Thursday Night Football against the Steelers. Alan, I know you're loving that one. The Steelers got the win 52-21. Carolina came out, put up a touchdown fast, but then they just couldn't stop the Steelers. It was as simple as that. Their defense could not keep up with them, but hey, luckily for the Panthers, the Lions' offense is not the Steelers' offense. It doesn't matter who's back there. Matthew Stafford, I mean, I'm pretty sure he's only got a winning record against losing teams. And the Panthers, guess what? They're not a losing team. So this is going to be an interesting game where the Panthers are favored by 3.5 on the road. I think it'll be a high-scoring shootout because Stafford and his offense for the Lions will have to shoot out to try to keep up with Carolina, Cam, and Christian McCaffrey, who is playing a ridiculous amount of snaps this year. He has been balling for the Panthers. I think this is going to be an interesting one. I like the over set at 51.5. It could be the shootout, but at the end of the day, I'm going to have to take the Panthers by 3.5. I don't like the hook. I would much rather it be 3 points, but the Lions, they haven't given me anything to put faith in them all year. So I think the Panthers can easily win this game by a touchdown on the road. They haven't been as good as a road team as they are at home. But I'm going to have to stick with Cam, and I'm going to have to stick with Christian McCaffrey to bounce back and get a win over the Detroit Lions -3.5.
Well, people, you know, I'm going to save my little rant when it comes to the Steelers, okay? I'm just going to leave it at that and just focus on this week with the Panthers, because I do agree. Panthers are going to fucking win. And you couldn't have said it any better. The Lions aren't the Steelers. You know, a lot of people would think that the Lions' offense probably got a disadvantage by losing Golden Tate, but I don't see that, because I still see that they got Marvin Jones, they got Zay Jones, and they got Golladay. And all three of those guys have been actually, you know, pretty decent. Golladay's actually been balling. I'm a little pissed off that I dropped him in my dynasty lineup. But Panthers coming off of that horrific fucking nightmare we gave them, they got to be coming back pissed, and they're going to come back hard, especially being in Detroit. Detroit ain't gonna fucking stop them. Sham Newton, just go ahead and be selfish and get two tugs on your own. Do a little QB sneak. Let Christian McCaffrey break on a couple screens. And I feel like Funchess is gonna have a good day. Funchess and DJ Moore, I think they're both are gonna come back hard with a tug each. I do not see the Lions defense. I feel like they're banged up a little bit, too. Lions defense are also banged up. And therefore, we're definitely taking the Panthers, baby.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. The Lions actually had 9 players on their injury report this past Wednesday from practice, so they're banged up. Darius Slay, their number one corner, he's still questionable for this game, but I'm right there with you. I think this could be a high-scoring game. I like the over at 51 points, and the over is 3-0 in games that Detroit has played at home since the start of the 2005 season. So let's go ahead, take the Panthers with the extra rest. Like you said, coming off Thursday Night Football, that's an extra 3-4 days rest to get ready for this Detroit Lions offense and their defense. I think either way, the Panthers should run over the Detroit Lions -3.5. Let's go ahead and lock it in for the week, and then move on to our next game where we got the Tennessee Titans taking on the Indianapolis Colts in another division matchup. This one takes place in the AFC South, where the Colts will be hosting the Titans, and the Colts are favored by 2.5 points. And we've told you guys before, the Tennessee Titans, one of the most unpredictable, hardest teams to bet on in all of football, whether you're betting for them or betting against them. We just can't pick this team right. I mean, fuck, we thought we were going to lose to the Cowboys. They won. We thought they were going to lose to the Patriots. They won. They beat the Patriots 34-10. How the hell did that happen? Well, I'll tell you. They got after Tom Brady. Tom Brady was not looking like the GOAT. Tom Brady was looking like a 40-year-old, 41-year-old, however fucking old he is. He was looking like a 40-year-old elderly out there, like a senior citizen. He was getting hit left and right, and he was going down fast. But it's going to be interesting to see if Andrew Luck is going to get hit as many times as Tom Brady, which is crazy to talk about because Andrew Luck, his whole career, was just getting sacked left and right, left and right, left and right. But I've mentioned it. Quentin Nelson, now one of the best offensive linemen in this past draft class, he has came on and completely transformed his offensive line. I mean, Andrew Luck hasn't been sacked in the past like 4 or 5 games. It's been absolutely ridiculous. No one's been able to put a hand on this guy. I think Andrew Luck, as long as no one's touching him, I still think he's one of the best quarterbacks in the league. I talked about him being the candidate for comeback player of the year between him and Adrian Peterson. I mean, everybody wrote this guy off. He's still the best quarterback in the AFC South. I'll take him over Bortles, take him over Deshaun Watson. I'm definitely taking him over Marcus Mariota. So I might just have to take the Colts at home by 2.5 points, because 2.5, Vinatieri, come save the day with a game-winning field goal. I'll take it. I'll go ahead and take the Colts this week over the Titans by 2.5.
Oh, shit. Guys, I'm fucking flabbergasted. It's not even just, like, my friends or anyone just talking shit about how bad this line was. Everybody was talking about how this fucking line was. Luck was just fucking getting hit left and right, like Marcus said. They were looking like Seattle's fucking offensive line. Now 4 straight games without Luck being sacked. That just shows you the amount of trust that he has in this line, because I'm not seeing him scramble. I'm seeing him staying in the pocket and delivering that fucking ball like he used to. Like, I feel like he's just another Big Ben. These injuries do not fucking stop him, okay? So, therefore, let's get to the fucking Titans. I mean, Jesus Christ, I feel like everybody lost money.
Yeah.
Everybody had to lose money last week. Brady was just, I got no words for that, okay? It was more of a love-hate thing for me because, one, Nothing pleases me more than to see fucking Brady in trouble and just looking like shit, okay? But then again, we took the fucking Patriots. And I've been talking so much shit. That's another thing, people. I guarantee you that these fuckers are listening to this podcast because every time I go on a rant and shit talk a team, they fucking prove me wrong. I talk shit about the Seahawks line. They're looking like they've been doing it. I talk shit about the Cowboys. Cowboys fucking won against the goddamn Eagles. But then they lose to the Titans. I talk shit about the Titans, how they didn't look like they wanted to win. They beat the fucking Patriots. But this is Andrew Luck. I'm never going to bet against Andrew Luck when it comes to a team like this, okay? Unless it's my Steelers. But Andrew Luck is going to fucking torch this goddamn team. I don't give a shit. They're going to do it. And by 2.5, fuck the hook. But we're still going to take the goddamn Colts.
Yeah, I'm taking a Colts, and it's for the reason you said it. I'm taking Andrew Luck in pretty much any game in a battle between the AFC South, because Andrew Luck is the best quarterback in that division, just like I just said. I mean, Andrew Luck is 9-0 straight up and 8-1 against the spread when facing the Tennessee Titans throughout his career. So, I mean, shit, the numbers are right there. It's perfect for you. While I do not think this will be a high-scoring game, I do like the under of 48. The under is 7-3 in games Tennessee has played on the road against the Indianapolis Colts since the start of the 2008 season. So it should be a close game, a close division matchup. But like we said, with the point spread being under 3, a game-winning field goal can win you this bet. So we're sticking with Vinatieri, we're sticking with Andrew Luck, and we're taking the Colts by 2.5 points this weekend at home over the Tennessee Titans. Let's go ahead and move on to our next game of the week. We got the Dallas Cowboys versus the Atlanta Falcons. And, I mean, what? We started off with 5, 6, 7 winners in a row. Now we're getting to the gist of it, folks. Now we're getting to the losers. Now we got the Tennessee Titans who cost us money, we got the Cowboys who cost us money, and the Falcons that cost us money. At least the Colts, Allen picked them to win. Hey. I picked them for the spread. Hey, we got you some money on the Colts. But the Cowboys, like we said, they're right up there with the Titans, one of the most unpredictable teams to bet on this year. They are the underdogs by 3.5 points this weekend on the road against the Falcons team, who just lost to the Browns 28-16. Another surprising upset. I mean, I knew the Browns were pretty good this year, but I didn't know fucking Nick Chubb 200 yards good. Nick Chubb busting off 96-yard touchdown runs good. I mean, the Atlanta Falcons defense was gashed for 211 rushing yards by Cleveland on Sunday. And now you got to face Ezekiel Elliott. So that's my big fear in this game. If the Cowboys are able to run the ball and they're able to hold Matt Ryan off the field, they should have a recipe for success. But Matt Ryan's going to get on that field sometime, somehow. And Matt Ryan's going to be able to put up points on this Dallas Cowboys defense that has been so-so this year. I mean, it's been back and forth, haven't really been making the biggest plays. They almost lost to the Eagles last week, 27-20. Ended up getting a few clutch plays down the stretch and won the game. But I like this Falcons offense to bounce back. I mean, if you look at their splits, their home and road averages. The Falcons are a much, much, much better team at home than they are on the road. They'll be playing in a dome against this Cowboys team that I just don't think Dak Prescott can keep up with Matt Ryan in a shootout. I mean, of course, he's got Amari Cooper now. Their numbers have been increasing all over the board. I mean, Dak's QBR has gone up. Ezekiel Elliott's yard per rush has gone up a couple yards since Amari Cooper has gone on the team. So he has definitely made this offense better. I just don't know if they're at the caliber of the Atlanta Falcons offense. The biggest key for the Falcons would have to be their defense. And they actually had Deion Jones back at practice this week. He's questionable for this weekend. So that would be huge to get him back in the center of their defense. Man, this is going to be a good game. I like the over 47 points. I definitely think that can hit over easily with these two offenses. But like I said, if it turns into a shootout, I'm going to take Matt Ryan and Julio Jones over Dak Prescott and Amari Cooper just because of what they've done in the past and what they can prove to do together, where we still got question marks about Dak Prescott throwing the deep ball downfield. So for that reason, I'll go ahead and take the Falcons by 3.5, and I like the over of 47.5. I got the Falcons winning this game 28-21, Al.
Well, you know, guys, I got to say, this is some weird shit. You know, we got all the fucking true sorry teams that are on bye weeks. So this is going to be my head scratcher of the week because I just don't know, okay? I really don't. Cowboys, I'm not even going to go there with you guys, okay? I'm not, all right? I let you guys off. I pick you guys, you lose. I give you guys a fucking rant, just shit down your necks. You guys want to win. So with that being said, I'm just going to take the Falcons only because it's at home and I expect Julio Jones to make more fucking efforts on scoring because right now he's leading the league in receiving yards. He's fucking killing it in receiving, but he just can't get it in the end zone, even though he's done it the last two games. And I don't think this Cowboys defense can handle Matt Ryan and this fucking offense. Now, Zeke, he looked pretty nice last week. I don't know where that came from, but you know what? It looks like Zeke is back. Wack Prescott, you're still Wack Prescott. You did what you did to win, but you know what? Fuck you. But I'm not going to go in all the way with the Cowboys. I also like the fact that Deion Jones has been back at practice. I didn't even think that that was going to happen. Even with that happening, if he's going to play, I'll definitely take the Falcons for sure. You don't understand how one man can honestly change a defense. One man can do it. If a quarterback can fucking do it for an offense, then one defensive player, especially a linebacker, can do it. And I think this Falcons defense is going to step up at home, take out the Cowgirls by 3.5.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I would love it if it was only a 3-point spread, 3.5. That hook kind of catches you. But I think the Falcons, like I said, I got them winning this game 28-21, and that should cover the spread. And that does cover the over, sitting at 47.5. What do you think, Al? Will this be a high-scoring game? Can Dak keep up at all with Matt Ryan in this Falcons offense?
You know what? It's more of a question if the Falcons can. Because after what I seen against the fucking Browns, like, do we say the Browns' defense is good? Like, can we say that? Or is it still... are they still pretty trash?
They've got a couple pieces with Denzel Ward, obviously Myles Garrett. Now with Greg Williams taking over, they are more of a defensive-orientated coaching staff. So, they are a decent defense. I think, obviously, just Matt Ryan does not play great outdoors, and he doesn't play great on the road. True. Now he'll be back in a dome with his conditions. I think this offense strives when they're playing at turf in a dome.
Yeah, and you know what? That shit really does matter. Like, everyone thinks that weather or where they play doesn't matter. It really does. Some teams really do shitty outside, and some teams really do shitty in the dome. Fortunately, we got both teams. I feel like Dallas has half and half. I feel like they have a dome and an outside, so, I mean, shit. So, with that being said, I can see this 47.5 happening. I fucking hate that hook. But who doesn't hate that hook? But, yeah, I can see this being a shootout.
Yeah, if anything, maybe we'll take the Falcons on the money line. But, shit, this is the Bay's Golden Day. So, we're taking it against the spread. So, we're taking the Falcons and the 3.5 points. We're taking over 47.5. And get this, the over is 15-7 in games that Atlanta Falcons have been the home favorite since the start of the 2016 season. So, they know they got to put up points to win at home. And I think they do it this weekend against the Dallas Cowboys by 3.5 points. Now, let's keep it moving now to Allen's biggest brag of the week. The Pittsburgh Steelers taking out the Carolina Panthers, like we mentioned on Thursday Night Football, 52-21. I mean, goddamn, Allen. Did Ben Roethlisberger have the over himself? I mean, the guy had more touchdown passes than incompletions. 5 touchdown passes, 3 incompletions. I mean, goddamn, who cares if Le'Veon Bell ain't coming back because James Conner is putting up better numbers than him? And this Pittsburgh Steelers defense is putting up numbers like they're the goddamn steel curtain. Fucking reinvested. Now they're back. I don't know what to think with Bud Dupree. He's got some brand new Jordans he just stole out of Le'Veon Bell's locker room. He's going to be balling this weekend. I like the Pittsburgh Steelers to get some revenge against the Jacksonville Jaguars for what they did against them in the playoffs and how they ran into him a couple times last year. I know the Jaguars have had Big Ben Roethlisberger's number. But I've said it multiple times. This is not the same Jacksonville Jaguars defense. This is not the same Jacksonville Jaguars team. I don't care if Fournette's back. I don't care if Jalen Ramsey is talking all the shit in the world. I definitely think the Steelers will win this game by 5.5 this weekend. Al, let me hear it.
Oh, man, well, you know what? First of all, you nailed it right there. The Jaguars aren't the same. And guess what? Neither are we. You know why? Because we're playing more motivated than we have been. Because I think due to the fact that Le'Veon Bell isn't playing, the fact that he isn't playing and our youngin' is getting all that work, they are fucking loving it. Our fucking team is backing him up 100%. This kid is hungry. I fucking adore this guy's performances. Oh, and let me speak about Juju Smith-Schuster. Huh. We couldn't have been blessed even better. You know, this was a great fucking pickup. We needed that. Our offense is just rolling. 52 points. You should have seen me fucking on Sunday because when the Saints got 51, I was like, fuck. Everyone was looking at me like, what? I was like, I wanted to have the most points of the week. But we did, and we came through. It was so fucking great. I mean, let's just speak on Le'Veon Bell a little bit. Look, farewell, Le'Veon Bell. I do wish you the best. I did say that you deserve to get paid. But, you know, it's a business. I hope you understand that. So I hope all that jet skiing and all that rapping and all that shit in Miami was all good for you. And wherever you land, hopefully you stay here because I'm not going to knock you. I would love for you to stay here. You and James Conner, that'd be fucking great. Split carries. Fuck it. I don't care. Get as much fucking weapons as we can.
It'd be the next Kamara and Mark Ingram.
Yeah, be the next Kamara and Mark Ingram, okay? But be better. How about that? But if you're going to go and chase that bag instead of a championship, then you know what? By all means, go ahead. Because the economy now is just fucking tough. I'm sure that getting a house is so fucking hard. When you're, especially you were getting paid $14 million this year that you decided to skip out on. Oh. I'm sure that it was so hard to fucking grab a house or something, huh? So go ahead and chase that bag. But for this week, we are fucking coming, and we're coming with revenge. Even though it is at Jacksonville, we're coming in hot. We're going to be rolling. We can't let Bortles fucking throw on us the way he did. I mean, he did kind of throw on us on the playoff game. He had about, what, three touchdowns, I think, three or four? But Big Ben, he's rolling, okay? He's going to do it. He's going to do it fucking hard. He's going to shove that fucking cock right up the goddamn defense. Jalen Ramsey is going to get tried. It has been said that Roethlisberger said, I will try Jalen Ramsey. I don't know if those words, but he said, I am going to shove a fucking cock down his throat. Let fucking Antonio Brown just bust all over him. Even Juju, fuck Jalen Ramsey. I gave him respect, but you know what? He has been getting torched, and they're still missing Boye. I think they're still missing him, so that's even a fucking worse time. I do see Fournette kind of having a good game. Even though Christian McCaffrey didn't really rush as good, all his touchdowns came from pretty much screens. But our defense is actually looking pretty nice. I like Bud Dupree right there. He's, like you say, he's going to have some nice little Concords on. TJ Watt is a fucking monster, okay? That was the greatest pick that we've had almost in our lifetime. I love it. Based off of defense. So, with that being said, Mark, I think my rant is done. I don't think I want to jinx too much. We are going to take the Steelers by 5.5. That fucking hook. Here we go again. Over under 47. I think if that happens, the only way that's going to happen is if we put up another fucking 40 to 50 points, because I do not see Bortles putting no more than 14 points, Mark. I don't.
Yeah, I can't see it either. I mean, the Jacksonville Jaguars, history is in their favor with the numbers. I mean, the Jaguars are 8-0 against the spread when facing a team from the AFC North over the past four calendar years. But I said it, they're not the same team for the past 4 years. So I'm right there, Alan. I'm loving everything you're saying about this game. I'd be careful about making jokes about Ben Roethlisberger pushing his cock anywhere. But at this point, I'm right there with you. Yeah, I like the Steelers. -5.5. This over-under, I'm actually going for the under of 47 just because I don't think Jacksonville's going to put up that many points. I think the Steelers should win this game easily by 5.5. They'll win by a touchdown. But the way that Bortles is playing, the way that they're not putting up points, and the way that the Steelers' defense is playing, I do like the under of 47.5 points.
And I have been corrected. I stand corrected, by the way. Boye is a full participation in practice. But you know what? Antonio Brown had two touchdowns on him against the playoffs. It's going to probably happen again. All right? So go ahead and play, Boye. Go ahead. Because while you're going to be sitting there, Antonio Brown is going to be going by you. Maybe twice, maybe three times, maybe once. I don't care. It's going to happen.
He could be going by you,
Bayou,
just like the Steelers said, by you to Le'Veon Bell as they keep it moving now with James Conner, Roethlisberger, AB, Juju Smith. I mean, like I said, James Conner is putting up almost better numbers than Le'Veon Bell. So is this offense really struggling? I don't think so. The offense is playing great. The defense is playing better than ever. Me and Alan, 100% on the same page. We are taking the Steelers -5.5 points this weekend at Jacksonville. Let's go ahead and move on to our next matchup of the week as we come over to the AFC West as we get a matchup between the Denver Broncos and the Los Angeles Chargers. The Chargers really weren't that impressive last week, beat the Raiders only 20-6. I mean, I mentioned it before, I thought they could cover the over just by themselves the way that the Raiders defense has been playing. I mean, the Raiders actually had a couple turnovers, got an interception, so maybe if the Raiders kept it within 14, can the Denver Broncos keep it within 7? You guys know how I feel between these division matchups. This is actually the first time that they have played this year, though, because they will be playing again in week 17, so there is not too much past history between these two teams this year, but man, Chargers -7 points. Chargers have been sneakily one of the best teams in the NFL this season. I mean, not that sneaky. If you've been listening to the Bay's Golden Days podcast, we've mentioned before they're 7-2. The only teams they've lost to are the Chiefs and the Rams. So I definitely think they can take out the Denver Broncos. They're my money line lock of the week. But by 7 points, Bradley Chubb, Von Miller, this defense getting after Phillip Rivers. I mean, it's tough. They're getting Royce Freeman back on the offense side of the ball. I don't really like Case Keenum in that offense too much. Cortland Sutton should have a big week now, filling that role for Demaryius Thompson since he got traded. Something is just telling me to take the Broncos plus the points against the spread. I definitely like the Chargers to win this week, but I think this is going to be a low-scoring game. I like the under -47 points. I might just have to take Denver because Denver is 5-2 against the spread in road games played against the Chargers since the start of the 2011 season. These games are always close. If it was 3, 4, 5 points, I'd be definitely taking the Chargers. But since it's 7, I don't know, Al. I might have to take the Broncos with the points. What are you thinking for this game?
Well, first of all, I do want to say I understand your pain because I'm going through it too with this week. You know, with the Ravens-Bengals, it's hard to pick between what team you want. You know, this is two teams that you don't want to see win at all. Like I said, you probably want to see a tie. But the verdict here, I'm going to have to agree.
Oh.
I'm going to have to agree because, look, let's sit here and think about it. Chargers, their offense, you know, they always surprise me. They really do. Keenan Allen, like, this guy used to be a fucking injury bust to me. And then he's just fuck like little hitch patches, little river patches. All of the Keenan Allen. Antonio Gates is old as fuck and he still can catch a fucking ball in the end zone. But, the Broncos, man. That defense is still kind of crucial. And I think that they can have enough to at least win by 3 or lose by 3. I don't think that this spread by 7 is going to fucking work. I just don't. I mean, defense still, like, I mean, I don't know if you mentioned it. I didn't hear it, but Joey Bosa is looking questionable. But, I mean, I still think that the Chargers will win in the money line. Broncos, though, Keenum, fuck, man, you can't. Trust Keenum or not trust Keenum? You know what? You're going to have to trust Keenum, okay? Because also, I want to talk, Lindsey might actually run all over this fucking defense. I didn't think that he would do it on some defense, but you know what? He did. He ran against the Rams defense last I remember. He had a decent game against them. And their defense shits on the Chargers defense. I don't think the Chargers are going to get this win by 7. I just think they're just going to get the win.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. Definitely lock in the Chargers for the money line lock of the week. But the Broncos with the points might be a better bet just because the Chargers have only averaged 17 points per game versus the Broncos since the start of the 2014 season. So that's another reason why I'm sticking with the under at 47 points because the under is a perfect 5-0 in games Denver has played on the road against the LA Chargers since the start of the 2013 season. Or should we say this against the San Diego Chargers? I mean, I don't know how to read these stats. Are they in L.A.? Are they San Diego? They're in San Diego in 2013. I mean, who gives a fuck? They don't got no fans anyways.
Regardless of where they're from, they could still be the chokers.
The chokers.
No matter where they're at, they can be in the North fucking Pole. They could still be the goddamn chokers.
And like I said, it's getting towards that time of year where the chokers usually come out around playoff time. They've been playing great this year. Like Alan said, could be getting Joey Bosa back. This defense should be even better once they finally get him back. We like the Chargers to win this week, but we don't like that 7-point spread, so why not take the Broncos plus the points? Give me the Chargers on the money line, and we both like the under of 47 points. Let's go ahead and keep it moving now as we get into some primetime matchups. We got America's Game of the Week, the Philadelphia Eagles taking on the New Orleans Saints. This should be on TVs across the country because, man, oh, man, what a matchup we got. One of the hottest teams in football, the New Orleans Saints. Like we said, they're our lock of the week last week, and they absolutely put it on the Bengals 51-14, while the Philadelphia Eagles cost us some money. Lost to the cock-sucking Dallas Cowboys. I'm sorry, I didn't even mean to be so mean.
Yes, you did.
It just, the alliteration just led me into it. Cock-sucking Cowboys, you know, it just sounds so good. And, hey, after last week losing some money, they deserve to be the cock-sucking Cowboys. But how about these goddamn Eagles? We thought they were going to be dropping bird scat all over the Dallas Cowboys last week, but ended up losing by a touchdown. And now they are 8.5-point road underdogs. Yes, you heard me right. 8.5 points. That's the biggest underdog for a defending champion since 2009. How disrespectful. I thought this was supposed to be the Super Bowl winning Eagles, but obviously their defense has been beaten up. Their defensive backfield is riddled with injuries. Amari Cooper is tearing guys' ACLs just by running routes. Their defensive line has not lived up to the hype of their Super Bowl team that they were last year. And then Carson Wentz, he'll have up games, he'll have down games. Without Jay Ajayi in his backfield, I mean, with no running offense, really, this offense has not been the same, but they're going to have to put up a lot of points this week against the Saints. The Saints defense does let up a lot of points. That's why the over-under is set at 55.5 points. And I think to reach that over of 55.5 points, the Saints are going to have to win this game by more than 8 because I don't see this going back and forth, 45, 35, blah, blah, blah. I think the Saints are going to have to win big. I'm looking like 35, 21 or something in that range. I think they win by 2 touchdowns. So to be honest, it is sketchy taking 8.5 points against the defending Super Bowl champions, But this is why I did not pick the Eagles to win one playoff game last year. I mean, I thought they were overhyped, overrated last year. I got proved wrong, apparently. Or did I get proved right on the way that they're playing this year? We'll find out this weekend as they take on the Saints. But I'm sticking with Drew Brees to stay hot and take out the Eagles. Mine is 8.5 points, Al.
You taking Drew Brees, and I'm taking Drew Brees. This Eagles team is not the Super Bowl team we've seen, especially with the moves that they made in the offseason. We thought that they were going to be better. But fucking Bennett looks like he's not doing enough. Their injuries are just killing them. Aguilar went from no hands to most improved player to now he's just inconsistent. He's whatever. Alshon Jeffrey, you know, he's kind of proven me wrong because I've had him in fantasy so many times. I said, fuck him, dude. Now he's just looking like he's, you know, back to his old self like he was in Chicago. But I don't think it's enough to go against Lattimore in this defense. This defense is going to let up points, but not enough points for them to win. Because what did I say? You trust Drew Brees. You trust Kamara. You trust Ingram. You could even fucking trust Brandon Marshall when they just picked him up. Okay? As long as Drew Brees is on the field, fuck, you could even trust that fucking guy Hill. This guy is doing damn near everything. Like, what in the fucking fuck? I thought he was a quarterback. I'm playing Madden. They got him in a goddamn returning position. He's a returner.
The jack of all trades.
The jack of all trades. And I think that he even might get a touchdown to even cover this spread. So let's just take the Saints. Let's just stop talking about this game now, even though it's America's game, which I think that fucking America's game should be the Chiefs and Rams. That should be America's game. This one is going to be probably an ass-whooping, if not a shootout. If the Eagles aren't going to put up points, then the Saints are going to put up probably 50 again. Okay? So let's just stick with the Saints. Let's stick with the 8.5. And I'm definitely going to take that 55. I mean, look, Eagles put up, what, 20 points against the Cowboys? I think their defense is worse than the Saints. So I could see that the Eagles getting garbage time points, like maybe over 20, just because the Saints are going to get put up over 30. I already know that for sure.
And that covers the spread right there. Yeah. The Saints, one of the hottest teams of all football. And get this, the New Orleans Saints are 9-2 against the spread, following three or more consecutive wins since the start of last season. So once they get it rolling, they keep it rolling. So we're going to go ahead and keep on rolling with the New Orleans Saints because the Eagles, they're just not the Super Bowl defending champs they were last year. I mean, we talked about it a bunch of it over this whole entire podcast. The Eagles are 0-3, both straight up and against the spread this season, versus teams that currently have a winning record. So they can't even beat teams who have a winning record. Talk about beating playoff teams. Talk about beating a potential Super Bowl team in the New Orleans Saints. Yeah, we're sticking with Drew Brees to put up a bunch of points. Eagles, maybe they get Golden Tate involved this weekend. Maybe they get him involved with the offense. So I think it is a shootout, but I think the Saints win big. But we both like the Saints to win by 8.5, and we both like the over of 55.5 because the over is 7-1 in games that the Philadelphia Eagles have played as a road underdog under head coach Doug Peterson. So you know the game plan is to come out and put up points, because if you don't put up points, you're going to fall behind quick to Drew Brees, and you can't let that happen. But, hey, we can let it happen right here on the Bay's Golden Days because we're taking Drew to win you some money. Now let's go ahead and move on from America's Game of the Week to Sunday night primetime into our Monday night delight because, man, oh, man, we got some good matchups. We got an NFC North Division matchup between the Minnesota Vikings and the Chicago Bears. The Bears won last week and won you some money right here on the Bay's Golden Days, beating the Lions 34-22, while the Minnesota Vikings were on a bye week. So they will have 2 weeks to prepare for Mitchell Trubisky for the return of Allen Robinson, who came back last week and absolutely scorched the Lions. He had 2 touchdowns, and then Khalil Mack came back and he had 2 sacks. So what did I say last week on the podcast? Allen Robinson, Khalil Mack, arguably your best player on both sides of the ball. I think the Bears are rolling right now, but are the Bears a little bit of fool's gold is my question, because the Chicago Bears, according to the schedule, they've had the NFL's easiest schedule to date, and they're 0-3 against teams that are currently 500 or better. So they got a losing record against winning teams, just like I talked about the Eagles a little bit. But here are the Chicago Bears sitting with a 6-3 record, taking on the Minnesota Vikings and being a 2.5-point favorite, where the Vikings, they got 2 weeks to prepare. They're getting healthy. Dalvin Cook is finally back. I mean, I think this is going to be the biggest test for the Chicago Bears because this NFC North is wide open. With the Green Bay Packers losing on Thursday Night Football against the Seahawks, it could be any team between the Vikings and the Bears. So I might just have to take the points in a division matchup. I would have thought this would be around 3, 3.5. So this is good if you're taking the Bears. You can get them at 2.5, so you won't get screwed over by the field goal hook too badly. But something's telling me with 2 weeks to prepare, I think this Vikings defense is going to be able to put the clamps down on Mitchell Trubisky because he's one of the more inconsistent quarterbacks in this league, to be honest. I might just have to take the Vikings plus the extra times to get the upset Sunday Night Football over the Bears plus 2.5 points.
Well, you know, like you said right there, just one name, Trubisky. That guy has been proving everyone fucking wrong, whoever talks shit to him, because I don't know where this guy came from, but he came from the heavens as far as Chicago's concerned, because he and Allen Robinson looked fucking beautiful last week. I mean, Trubisky just throwing dimes to everybody. I mean, fuck. And to do this against a Vikings defense, who is pretty hurt, they are kind of missing Rhodes with a limited participation. They're missing fucking Sendejo. He didn't even participate. So I think Trubisky's going to have a lot of advantages and opportunities to get this ball in the air and make some points. Vikings offense, Dalvin Cook coming back, that's good. I like that. But Thielen, he's been a limited participation as well. That is bigger than Stephon Diggs to me. Thielen, I mean, Jesus Christ, he just came off of 8 straight games of 100 yards. The only person to do that was Calvin Johnson. So for him to be limited and possibly not play, that could be a huge disadvantage for the Vikings. But if he does play, it's going to be a little tough for me to decide. However, I still have a gut feeling that the Bears are going to come back with this, especially at home. They're going to please their fans, and they're going to fucking roll hard. And I think this Vikings defense just isn't enough. And I don't know why I'm saying it, but it's just a gut feeling. I just think that Trubisky is going to get it done.
Hey, I'm right there with you on the opposite side. I got a gut feeling that the Vikings are going to be able to do it. While I do fear Khalil Mack killing Kirk Cousins, I still think Everson Griffin and his defensive line for the Vikings, they're pretty good as well. I think it's going to be an interesting matchup. Anthony Barr, linebacker, coming back for the Vikings. That'll be huge, pairing him back up with Eric Kendricks. Man, this is a tough matchup, but let me ask your opinion on what do you think about the over-under. It's set at 45.5 points. I think both these team defenses are going to have to step up for either team to win, so I'm predicting a low score. My path for victory for the Vikings, obviously run the ball with Dalvin Cook and just be able to beat the Bears, get to the quarterback, and stop Trubisky, stop Allen Robinson. I mean, I'm looking at it, 45 points. I can see it hitting under. I mean, the under is 6-2 in games that Chicago has played against Minnesota since the start of 2014. Are you leaning the same way, or do you think Trubisky is going to have another 5-6 touchdown performance?
Only because it's a primetime game, I think it's going to be a high-scoring game between both teams. Because, I mean, let's think about this. Primetime games are always fucking exciting. When they're not exciting, it's like the worst feeling in the world. When you're sitting there with only one game to watch, and it should be the good game because, I mean, if it's on primetime, it needs to be a good fucking game. And I think that this is going to be one of those games. So I do like the 45, especially at 45.5. I got to take the over. Fuck that hook. I'm going to take the over on it.
I love it. Here we are, Sunday Night Football, and we finally disagree on the picks, finally disagree on the point spread, finally disagree on the over-under. So let's go ahead and kick it off because we do got a dynasty matchup coming up next week in fantasy football. So we need a little bit of disagreement right here on the Bay's Golden Days podcast. And let's go ahead and wrap up this podcast with our final Monday night game of the week. I teased it in the intro. This could be potentially a Super Bowl preview. This was such a good game. They took it out of Mexico. Bring it back to America. Is this Donald Trump making America great again? Oh, he's already bringing back football games from Mexico? I mean, I'm sorry. I had to throw in that little political joke. I don't care who the fuck the president is, but the president of football right now is Patrick Mahomes, and I can see why Alan has been giving him so much praise on the podcast this year, because he's one of those fools that puts ketchup on steak. He puts ketchup on everything.
Yes!
He even said he put ketchup on his macaroni and cheese.
Did he really?
Yes, Patrick Mahomes. Mahomes is a real weirdo, but hey, Alan's a real weirdo on this podcast. Also, one of those freaks that puts ketchup on steaks. But hey, Alan's been winning some money right here on the Bears Golden Days, and Patrick Mahomes has been winning nonstop for the Kansas City Chiefs. They got a 9-1 record. They beat the Cardinals last week. We're not able to cover the spread. That was one where me and Alan went back and forth, didn't know if they were going to cover the spread or not. I ended up just taking the Chiefs on the money line. But for the first time that I can recall for the whole entire year, the Chiefs are the underdog because they're going on the road back to L.A. Like I said, this game was supposed to be in Mexico. The field was terrible. I mean, I don't know how the air quality condition is in L.A. I mean, I don't really know. You choose, you rather breathe or you rather be able to run. I mean, I guess it's hand in hand where you want to play this weekend. But the Rams dealing with a few other issues besides the fires down in L.A. Cooper Kupp, done for the season, torn ACL. That's going to be a huge issue for this Rams offense, where they did win last week against the Seahawks, but they didn't cover the spread. We told you to take the Seahawks and the 10 points to win you some money right here on the Bay's Golden Days, but I think that's going to be a huge factor without Cooper Kupp. This Rams offense had been led by Todd Gurley. He's obviously in the race for MVP. If anything, they should be able to run all over this Kansas City Chiefs defense, and I think on the flip side, we just saw the Seahawks and Russell Wilson put up 31 on this team. We saw fucking Rashad Penny. What did I say on the podcast last week? Penny was going to get some play without Carson, and Penny went off for a couple touchdowns over 100 yards. Well, shit, now you got Kareem Hunt back-to-back leading rusher in the NFL. I think he's going to be able to run on this Rams defense. I think this is going to be a shootout back and forth all day, and apparently so does Vegas because they set the over-under at 63.5 points. God damn, I think they might do it. I can see both these teams putting up 30 points. Hell, the Chiefs and the Rams, they could put up arguably 40 points a game. That covers the over. I think Vegas is trying to tease us into something, but I truly think this is going to be a shootout. These defenses, maybe the Rams can get some pressure with Aaron Donald. That front seven that has been one key factor to slowing down Patrick Mahomes at all this year is to blitz him, put pressure on him, and try to make him force the ball to make bad decisions. But he just hasn't been doing that this year. And the Kansas City Chiefs, with all their offensive weapons, with everything that they have to score points from anywhere on the field, the Rams could do it too. So I might just have to take the team who has the ball last in this game. And if you're going to take the team who has the ball last in this game, they could just win by a field goal. So if Greg Zuerlein comes out and Legatron hits a walk-off field goal, they still didn't cover the 3.5. So go ahead and protect yourself with the hook. We're not getting screwed by the hook this time. And go ahead and take the Kansas City Chiefs plus 3.5 for that extra bit of insurance. It doesn't matter who's going to win. I definitely think the Kansas City Chiefs are going to cover that 3.5 point spread on the road against the Rams, Al.
You know, I still don't understand it. How the fuck is this game not America's game? I don't get it.
It's on Monday night. America's game is the primetime Sunday
afternoon
game. I
don't give a fuck. This game is so good that they should switch it to the fucking American game no matter who, what day it is, okay? This game is going to be a fucking bloodbath between both. And I love the fact that I just found out Patrick Mahomes puts ketchup on his steak.
What a freak.
You know what? A little off-putting statement here. Steak is fucking good, okay, people? Steak is great. But it's even better when you add a little sauce to it. And what do you think Patrick Mahomes is doing with this goddamn team? The football is his steak, and he just sprinkles a little bit of Tyreek Hill, Kareem Hunt, Sammy Watkins. On top of that, their team is fucking red. So, yes, it makes a great analogy that the fact that he loves fucking ketchup on steak.
And no one can catch up to Tyreek Hill. He's too goddamn fast.
No one can do it. You know why? Because ketchup is great, and that's what Tyreek Hill is. He's the fucking ketchup, and no one can catch up to him, okay? Now, let's look at the Rams side real quick. Rams, like Marcus said, has just been terrible at the spread. They can't get it done. These past few games have been close. The Seahawks, dude. The fucking Seahawks. And you know what? I got to applaud you for that Penny statement.
Thank you, sir.
I remember that Penny statement, and he did fucking have a game. But the point is, this fucking 3.5 by the Rams, look, we've seen the Chiefs having spreads like 16, fucking 14, and we took them. And I think they covered.
Once.
Covered once, but this is an underdog. And Marcus couldn't have said it any better. I don't even think I had to explain it. We're not even going to be fucked by this 3.5 hook. If the fucking Rams by three, if they win by three, that's it.
Still
and if the Chiefs win, we win. So let's fucking take the Chiefs. Let's put a shitload of ketchup on that steak pick, because I know I am. As a matter of fact, I'm kind of feeling a little bit of steaky right now. I'm kind of hungry. So, yeah, let's let Patrick Mahomes have a fucking good old-fashioned weird fetish on ketchup on steak, because he deserves it, and he's going to deserve it this week when he beats the fucking Rams, Marcus.
Hey, he can serve up his steak with ketchup as long as he serves up a W this weekend against the Rams. Hell, all he's got to do is serve up a cover of the spread, and I'll be happy with him, and the man can get his lifetime ketchup deal through Heinz Ketchup. They're going to sponsor him if he gets 57 touchdowns, beat Peyton Manning record. Well, what the fuck are you going to do with a lifetime supply of ketchup, Al?
I'll tell you what you can do. Put it on steak.
At that point, you're taking bass in the ketchup while eating steaks. You got a lifetime supply of ketchup, but man, oh man, we're getting off track here. But to get back on track, that is every single game from week 11 of the 2018 NFL season, baby. Starting off with the Raiders, making it all the way to our primetime matchup Sunday night, the Vikings versus the Bears, Monday night, the Chiefs versus the Rams, potential Super Bowl preview. Ooh-wee, we got a lot of games coming. And like I said, me and Alan got a dynasty fantasy football matchup coming.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So
fuck
if
yourself.
You didn't think we were talking shit now, just wait till next week.
But until
next week, thank you for listening. Thank you for downloading. Thank you for subscribing on iTunes, Google Play, Apple Podcasts. Wherever you can find a podcast, you can find this podcast, The Bay's Golden Days, the Straight Cash Podcast Edition. I got UFC Podcast. I got Raiders Podcast. Like I said, I'll be cutting in the Raider Podcast here and there. Shut the hell up over there,
hey,
Alan.
Hey, man, I was going to say, if you ain't going to do it, I'll step in and do a Steeler Podcast, baby. Fuck.
Man, I'm just saying, we got the Straight Cash Podcast, so I'm going to lighten my load. Instead of dropping two a week, I'm only going to have one. What is it? No Nut November, no Raider Podcast November. That's what I'm going for here. We'll see what happens at the end of the year. I'll for sure bring you an end of the year recap, because the thing is, I can't just be here and bullshit. Well, I probably could bullshit for 30 minutes to 45 minutes every week about the Raiders, but I just don't want to, because it's the same thing over and over and over again. And the only thing I want to do over and over again is win some motherfucking money right here on the Bay's Golden Days podcast. So once again, thank you for listening. Thank you for subscribing. Check out our website, bgdsports.com. I mean, shit, everything you need to know, you've already heard me say this before. I say the same thing every podcast. Follow us, download, subscribe, do whatever you want. Just make sure you come back next week for the latest Straight Cash podcast right here on the Bay's Golden Days, baby. You know what it is.
Steady gold, pony boy.